One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
Oh, The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, or a shell of Bachelor Clues. I'll explain why later. Or maybe I'll explain why now. I've been food poisoned.
I was going to say, you have some strong scarf play going on here. What is this situation?
This is a towel that I have around my neck because I'm in the throes of food poisoning currently. It's very not fun. If I could put out the warning. Gratitude Cafe in Larchmont, California.
Oh, you're naming them. Wow.
Yes, definitely. That is what it is from. But nonetheless, we power on, we power through.
For the record, I told Clues, go to bed. You don't need to record this episode. We can do it without you. Nope.
That's right. I have to push myself beyond all human limits if I am to achieve my final form. And so that's what I'm trying to do here now.
He's tiny Timming.
I'm tiny Timming. Okay, well, beyond that, this is This Week in Bachelor Nation. We have all that news. We got all those screams, all those parasocial plays that you know and love. And of course, we're going to have a very special guest in our state of the game at the top of the show. Do we have any other business, Pace Case, to get to before we get to state of the game?
Well, we have bucket hats now available. That's our hot new item. And I actually have a scream related to it at the close of the show. So stay tuned for that.
And I have a scream related to being food poisoned. So stay tuned for that. But now, great, let's get to it. This is
Game of Roses. State of the game.
We are honored and humbled today to welcome to State of the Game the author of Keep It Up, Cutie, a not quite self-help book, the viral Instagram and TikTok star whose live tour kicks off November 8th in Pottstown, PA, Bachelor superfan, Anna Przybylski, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I apologize to Grace Ann for my incessant messaging, but we made it happen.
That's right. No, we're happy to have you.
I love this. You are the manifesting queen. And so the fact that you're able to manifest yourself onto Game of Roses, I think is a beautiful thing.
I set goals and I achieve them.
Oh, we see a little, there's a creature. We've got some creature play going on in the background.
That's Pepper. Always the creature of my week.
So for people who may not be familiar with your work, can you describe what it is you do in the parasocial arena, which, by the way, has garnered 622K TikTok followers, 463K Instagram followers?
Yeah.
That's more than a million total.
It is. It's 1.1 million total, which is like, I know only because I've been pitching that book, but...
Only 4 to 5 of them are me.
So a really fun fact is I've been listening to Gore since before I even made 1 minute of content in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't start creating content until pretty late in the pandemic. So I do like mental health comedy, but most people know me. If you're like, do you know the lady who yells outside in her robe? And I'm like, yes, that's me. And right. then that's that's how they know. Also, I do a little bit of vacuum play outside.
Oh, nice.
It's true. I know you for your screaming in bathrobes and vacuum play mostly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. That was like really how I was feeling during the pandemic, was really like screaming outside. And so that's where we went. And it's kind of like mental health, obviously. Mm-hmm. I struggle with mine. So.
Sure.
It's just a journey and I share it and people like it.
And you are a huge Bachelor fan. When did you start watching this show?
My first season, I started watching Fantasy Suites of Jillian Harris season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I then went back and bought Mezzany season on Amazon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought it on Amazon and watched it. And then, yeah, I've been watching ever since.
Worth its weight in gold?
Yes. Wow. I was, like, addicted immediately. And I even remember when I first met my now husband, this is, like, pre-Instagram. So I always was on this website called Wet Paint, kind of like BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. And every morning I would check it because that's where you got, like, the what happened at the party where they all met up, like, who hooked up with who, and, like, who was breaking up and making up, because that stuff wasn't just, like, out there. So literally every morning I would log on to wetpaint.com, click Bachelor, and like make sure I knew everything that was going on.
What was it that hooked you like that quickly?
One of the earliest
I don't think I had ever really watched any romance television. Okay. Like, and I just loved it so much. Uh-huh. I loved the idea, and that's, I think it helped that I started with Jillian because she was just like so effervescent and fun to watch, and plus she picked Ed, which was like this
so
whole
charismatic
thing. And so it was so fun to like follow the drama of the Ed and Jillian and the cheating and the chaos, and I was just like, oh, this is I was just hooked.
What do you, so you've been with it for a while, how do you feel about how things are going now and how things were during the pandemic? Like, what has it been for you as a fan? What has that experience
been? Not great. I haven't really, like, I would say literally since Listen to Your Heart, it's been a mess.
Yeah.
I think.
Are you including Listen to Your Heart in the mess or the last great season?
Yes.
Yes, no, that's a good answer.
But yes, I am. Ryan Neal, though, is... I live in Detroit, so that's from Listen to Your Heart. We don't have a lot in the Detroit Dimes and the Motown Mavericks or here, you know, we're a small crew.
Hey, I love that you know your team captain, though.
Sometimes I have listened to your recaps more than I have been watching in the last while, but right now I'm watching.
Yeah. So. No, it's been tough for us too, as well. I mean, the past three seasons or so, really before Charity Lawson season, I think it was just tough. You know, and I think it was probably tough to make the show as well with all the constraints and stuff like that. But I feel like it's back on track now. You're watching Golden Bachelor, I take it.
Yeah, of course.
And how do we feel about that?
Our God is an awesome God, Gary. Best guy.
Yeah.
I love it. No, it's great. I got really sad though, like this episode of Paradise, like in the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh my God, this might like be okay. Mm-hmm. And then it just like went downhill again. I was so uninterested.
Yeah, they're having some trouble with Paradise.
Wait, now I want a reel or a TikTok of you in a robe spinning around going, God is an awesome guy.
Gary. I'll make it just for you.
Oh, wow. Bespoke parasocial plays.
That's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
But yeah, I had like high hopes when Claire got named the Bachelorette. I was so excited because I'm a huge Claire fan because I'm kind of an old school fan. And it was just so disappointing. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they dropped the ball there.
We got two episodes and they weren't good.
No, season 16 was kind of the beginning of the downward spiral, if you will. But I do think they're pulling it out. And despite what is going on with BIP season 9 right now, for me, I see it as not necessarily hitting rock bottom, but like as a turning point. I think BIP after this season is going to get really good again because you're also having the problem of like those past three seasons in the bubble seasons, it was hard to latch on to any players, I feel like, because they were editing the shit out of the shows and just taking the teeth out of it. So now all the people that are matriculating out to Paradise are like people from those seasons. And so it becomes hard to get in.
I don't really know Gabby and Rachel's guys because we got so little time with them too, like besides like Avon and...
So you mentioned that you love Jillian Harris. Do you have any other Bachelor hero players?
Nick Vile.
Who do you think? I love KB. Oh. I really
KB,
do.
Let's listen. Go.
So here's the thing. I really did like Nick Vile for a long, long time. And when he was named the Bachelor, I was thrilled. And it was to the point where one time my husband walked in the room and I was listening to Vile Files. It's like in the beginning. He goes, "Is that Nick?" Because like he just knew him from his voice because I'm so annoying. Actually it was like it was the reality safe interview that like really was like never mind.
Yeah, I mean it's strange with Vial. You know, I hear what you're saying. Like he was a very loved figure in the nation for a long time. I don't know where that started to like go awry for him, but still he's got a giant podcast.
And Clues' partners have always been like, is that Vial? Yeah. Are you listening to the right one again?
Yeah. It's bad when they know what you're up to.
I'm right here in front of you.
I love KB. I love Ashley Hebert. Like loved so much, was so invested in Ashley and JP. And just, oh my God. And my number one like crush of all time is Ben Flanick. And I obviously I'm a Courtney Robertson fan. I read her book the day it came out. when he was the Bachelor, I was working in a restaurant and he came in and I was off and somebody texted me and they're like, Bachelor Ben is here. And I was like, okay. And I like ran from my house because I live 7 blocks from my work. And I didn't even do anything. I just like looked at
healthy.
Him.
This is very healthy.
It's very relatable. I did that to get like a Larvitar in Pokemon Go. So I've done more
that
for less.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just, it's escapism more than anything. It's just like getting to focus on somebody else's lives and gabbing about somebody else's, you know, the shit that's going on with them and not having to think about your own shit.
Has this spiraled out for you into other dating game formats?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Obviously, I love Love is Blind so much.
Are you caught up?
I am caught up. I watched it.
I've been food poisoned.
What?
So I was trying to take care of myself.
You might not know this because he doesn't have his signature towel that he had earlier in this episode, but he's been poisoned by the Olive Garden.
No, what? Not the Olive Garden. How dare you? It was Cafe Gratitude in Larchmont.
I know. I was just joking.
Anyways. No, exactly correct. I wanted to ask you, because you're a big social media, parasocial powerhouse, what do you think is going on with the parasocial numbers of Bachelor players this season and over the last couple of seasons, really, we've seen much lower numbers. Why do you think that is?
I think during the pandemic, everybody was consuming content so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't think I've spent more time on my phone ever than when I was at home for years. Yeah. And I don't know. I just think people don't really want to follow people just to follow them.
Yeah.
Like people want to follow people for something. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't, when I'm watching a show now, I don't go follow the actors. Like I don't know what that interest is, just like waned, right, or we're already consuming too much. So, you know, I don't want to just watch somebody exist.
There's so much more competition for the content. Their content's not breaking through.
Yeah. If they're putting out great content, then I would follow them. Like right now, Greg Grippa, holy shit. The filming quality and whatever it is, like, I like some people are doing really funny stuff, but other people just aren't. And I think it's tough. I think you used to just get followers.
You're in Grippo's grips as well.
Oh gosh, unfortunately.
Well, even Greg Grippa, what is he at right now? I'm looking him up. He's only at 370K. Like, is the era gone where you can have the top 4 to 6 players out of any given season are in the upper hundreds of thousands to a million? Is that just over now?
Yes, unless they commit to becoming a content creator.
Right.
Like, in addition to being a character on TV, they have to do both.
Yeah.
I don't think, because I'm not going to follow you just to follow, you know.
Sure.
I am. That's different.
You have to be Hannah Godwinning, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be making really strong parasocial play, or else it's not really worth it. Because some people are just putting out content because, hey, I was on this show and here's me putting my clothes on. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing it well and you're not filming it in a way that's exciting and, you know, it's just, it gets stale.
And do you think that this kind of the decrease in followership of all these players, do you think it is going to come back around on the show at all?
Yes, 1,000%, because I think they should be putting people on the show who already have hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yes, I agree with that.
I don't understand why they wouldn't be doing that.
I agree.
Why wouldn't they do that?
They have tried. They cast, for example, Christina Mandrell. Yeah,
and then she was gone immediately.
And they dismissed her immediately. They've done this over the past couple of seasons. They've tried to put some influencers in there, and it seems like the producers then eliminate them in the first one or two rounds.
I don't know what,
Victoria Jameson was another one. She had almost 1 million TikTok followers, and they just got rid of her in, I believe, week 2 of that season.
But it worked on Queer Ultimatum because a lot of those contestants were already had huge followings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm blanking on their names, but like
that lead blonde lady.
Yeah. She had like hundreds of thousands of followers, maybe more than that. And they all did great and grew because they're interesting. Maybe that's it too. Maybe it's just that like Bachelor characters sometimes, like to me now, like maybe I'm a less interested in a perfect face and a perfect body. And, you know, I'm just like, okay. Yeah.
But
everyone looks amazing.
I think some of that too is
they're too hot.
The way, but it's also like in the presentation of the show, kind of what we were talking about at the top of this. I feel like they don't let you see who these people really are. You don't get those funny moments or their little antics or whatever. It's just all cut down to be like as kind of.
You see Matt James dancing in the back of that Rachel Kirkconnell video. I don't know. They're ordering at a restaurant or something. I was just like, my jaw was agape. I was like,
it's what? True. You don't. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know anything about Greg Grippa except for from his content now. I'm just like, well, you seem kind of silly. Like, but if I don't get to know you, I don't get to know you. And I don't really have any interest in.
Yeah. I remember during that season, they did a group date that was a drag group date. This was in, what was it? Season 17 of Bachelorette, Katie Thurston, right? They all had a group date where they had to do drag performances and stuff. And they cut out all of the performances from the show. Then they put some of that footage on Instagram. And it was hilarious. Greg Grippa was on that date. And it was like, oh, Jesus, he's great. Why did we not see this in the show? And I don't understand exactly what the decisions are behind these editing tactics, but it does seem like
too wild, too.
Yeah, I guess. But like,
I wonder if it's walking the fine line between like their older audience and trying not to take away the love story thing that everybody likes. But like, but I would like to see a realistic love story between two people who are like really goofy or two people who.
And I think that's something that Love is Blind is capitalizing on. It is like, showing more realistic, at least feeling love stories, more realistic conversations between people dating.
They show a lot of stuff on that show.
Yeah.
You missed it. You missed it in your Clues Corner. But Izzy put his hand up Stacey's shorts on camera.
What?
It was wild.
Shit, I can't believe.
Wait, when?
You were like looking off when it happened because I was dying for you to see it be like, holy shit, I can't believe that was on TV. They're like standing next to the shower and he puts his his whole hand up there, and she like starts giggling, and then they like turn around so you can't see what they're doing. And I was like, oh my God.
I mean, there's more salacious shit in the season than that. You basically, is it, I think Milton and Lydia, you basically see having sex in the shower, like just through a kind of slightly
or Queer Ultimatum. They had that as well.
That too.
Maybe that's why everyone's interested in these shows.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. It's like the Bachelor only gives you, and because it's on network TV, can only give you a kind of like very cut down version of whatever these relationships might be. Whereas on Netflix, because it's streaming, they don't have to kneel to the network censors at all.
What's interesting, though, is that we feel like we're getting to know the characters on Gary's season. And we're getting an hour.
Yes, but I mean, you know, we've talked about this on the show. It's a different group of producers who do that show. And I think there is this power struggle right now to between the producers to be making a more Charity Lawson style season, a more Gary Turner style season. And then there are other producers who are like, nope, fuck it. We need 2 hours of the poop baby.
More poop baby.
No more poop baby. All set.
All set.
Yeah. We don't know.
Cute. Anna, you said that you started creating content during the pandemic, content around mental health, et cetera. When did that take off for you? When were you like, oh shit, this can be my career?
Thanksgiving of 2020 was like the first time I went really viral and was like, oh, people like me. I literally, all I said was like, how do we tell them that we're never coming back to Thanksgiving? Cause it's so fun at home alone where nobody makes you cry.
Yeah.
Because like for me, it was such a thrill to not have to go to a family holiday and cry in the bathroom for 2 hours. Like, and it was kind of like, I just got to start saying stuff.
That's very relatable. Yeah. Concept,
yeah, about my life.
Know? A lot of people.
And people were just like,
cry in the bathroom.
This is the most relatable thing I've ever seen. Like, we don't talk enough about how like holidays are miserable and we all have a terrible time. And I was like, yeah. And so from then I was just like, well, I can just share what's going on. Like when I'm super sad or like,
did you watch The Bear this season?
I didn't watch the new season.
In the new season, there's a it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. I forget which one, but it's a very good episode.
I've been like...
might be triggering.
So what was it like for you in that transition? This is something that I think, I mean, all Bachelor players go through it if they become influencers. You go from having sub 1,000 followers to, at a certain point, you've got hundreds of thousands and you're able to now monetize it. What was that like for you? What was that decision like, saying, I think I can do this as a job?
It was... I am sort of regretting the way that I went about it because it's really that like grasping that money goes away. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. Like it's been like a learning curve, obviously, because nobody's ever done not that, you know, YouTube stars and stuff. But TikTok's only been around since 2019. And it's just like you think when you do your first like 3 brand deals, you're like, oh, it's going to be like this forever. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to have an extra 10 grand of income every month.
Yeah.
And then like, it doesn't work that way, but it takes like a full cycle to learn that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still feel like I'm an imposter. So
it's inconsistent work.
Yeah. They can be like, we want you to go on tour and we want you to do all these things. And I'm like, well, I'm probably not good enough, which is probably my downfall. I think if I had a little bit more confidence, then I could take over the world, but I still haven't quit my job, actually. So,
oh shit! So this is your side hustle. Is again 662K TikTok, 463K Instagram. Is just your side hustle?
Yeah, I'm really afraid because I don't ever. The pandemic was so scary. I lost my job in the pandemic, and it was just like I never wanted to be in that position again. Where I just didn't know where money was coming from. And as much as I want to like dive headfirst into this, I also have this huge rational side that's like, hold on to this day job because Dove doesn't come calling anymore, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. But you're doing a tour now.
Yeah.
And how many cities is this? And what can people expect on the tour?
Yeah. It's so far it's 7 cities, but that's just for this year because it's pretty late in the year. And it's...
Only 7.
Between November 8th and December 16th. It's kind of a lot. So it's just places I can drive to from my house is the other thing. People are like, why aren't you coming to the West Coast? Why aren't you coming to the South? I'm like, well, I can only drive like 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So here's where I'm going. No, it's like
the tour bus doesn't go that far.
Like it's almost like dark comedy because I tell these really tragic stories about my life, mm-hmm. but in like this voice, and I laugh a bunch. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like my content where it's just like life's really terrible, and relationships with parents is really terrible. And the way that people treat women is really terrible. And having a body and existing is so terrible. Yeah. And, you know, it's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But like in a fun way. Yeah.
Hard truths presented jokes. Through comedy.
Yeah, I always say it's like hard won lessons.
Okay.
But like presented in a way that will make you giggle your way to believing you're enough.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. Just in terms of The Bachelor, Golden Bachelor, Love is mm-hmm. Blind, where do you see kind of reality dating TV as a whole right now? You've been in it for a long time as a fan. Do you think we're on an upswing, a downswing? Are we about to experience an explosion? Because there are some streamers that don't really have their foothold yet in this world. Netflix obviously has Chris Cullen and all the Kinetic content. ABC, and obviously it'll be Warner Brothers if Bachelor goes to streaming, they'll be on Max, I would assume. But Hulu has nothing. Amazon doesn't really have any of these kind of things. Apple TV doesn't have any of these. Are we waiting for them to come into the game now?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know, but I would love to see. There was a show, I don't know if you guys watched it. It was, I've actually seen a lot of those dating shows that went off the air. There was the one with JoJo's brother. Yeah.
JoJo's brother. I don't remember this.
Yeah, he was on and the one couple got married. It was the lead singer of Plain White Tees and the girl he picked, they got married, but it went off the air after like an episode.
Was this the Big D?
Mm-mm, this was a long time ago. Hmm. This was in like 2013.
Oh wow.
But like I still follow those couples, and there was another one. There's been a lot of really good dating shows that just don't make it. So I hope to see that they do make it on streaming.
Yeah.
Because it's going on. There.
It's a dating show. It just takes place in the silo set. The guys live at the bottom, the girls live at the top.
I don't know. I'll consume any dating content. They had like the flying one. I think it was on Netflix or something where they had their date on a plane. And
geez, I don't remember that one. I remember Sexy Beasts, obviously.
I watched Sexy Beasts as well. Yeah, loved it.
I did watch that one. That one was hard for me because I thought the prosthetics they applied to their face, it made it hard to like read their micro expressions and stuff. So you didn't know if the people were actually into each other or not, or what they were.
Well, yeah. And it was really hard not to judge them based on that.
Yeah.
Like when you're looking at them, you're like, don't really like that.
You didn't get a good enough looking animal mask.
I watched one on Discovery that was people dating, but they could only make animal noises.
What the hell? Just grunts and stuff?
It's on Discovery or something.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, they were grunting. And then if you won like a competition, you got to have time where you could speak.
Ready for Love was the show. And he got with this girl, Angela. They didn't make it. Oh. She was a virgin. It was a whole thing. But I think it was hosted.
I like hearing your recaps of it. big important question. Are you still playing Pokemon Go?
Duh, every day.
Every day. Exactly. The only way to be in the lifestyle, as I call it.
I got out the lifestyle.
To be in the community.
It's the only way. I just started playing in May. So I got addicted fast.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I can guarantee that the next 7 years of your life are going to be beautiful as my 7 years of Pogo of 2016.
I have an all or nothing kind of mm-hmm. a vibe, you know, with dating shows and Pokemon Go.
So he accepts it.
My husband. We're still married, so it's a real bummer, though, because I would like to go on a dating show. But unfortunately, I love him very much.
You'll have to wait. At some point, that format will exist.
You know what? You could do ultimatum.
That's true.
You could be like, I want to get double married, and he only wants to say one marriage.
Yeah. I want you to propose again.
So we've talked a lot about how you're, as you just said, you're all or nothing. You're all in on these dating shows, which leads me to believe you must have a scream from the pit.
Oh, goodness. I mean, the one where I ran down the street to see Ben Flanick in the restaurant. I mean, that's a pretty good scream.
That's a pretty good one. and then just
that's
stared
a
at
pretty good
the
one.
Other person yeah. I saw at the airport was Alex Bordy, Alex Bordikoff from Rachel Lindsay yeah. season, because he lives in Detroit. Sure. But my screams, here's my scream. I'm friends with Elise, Fleur d'Elise, on Instagram, and we message sometimes. And I asked her if Balak kind of knew that I existed.
Oh my god.
That's a very heavy scream. Oh my god.
That's a perfect scream.
I was like, does Blake know that I exist?
And what was the answer?
She said, yeah. She said she showed him my content before. And I was like, what?
Oh, congrats. That's incredible. Congratulations.
How do you feel?
Pretty good. Also, KB used my sound once, and I felt very cool.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I know.
Wow.
So, a lot of screams.
That is cool. Yeah. Now I'm trying to think of like a collab between you and Balak Hai. He's like DJing. You're like far in the field screaming back and forth.
He doesn't follow me. He just knows I exist.
That's great.
Hey,
that's right.
You got a foot in the door.
Big thanks to come. But thank you, Anna, for joining us for the state of the game and for your incredible screams. Again, Anna's on tour starting very soon, November 8th, starting off in Pottstown, PA. You can get tickets.
Oh, yeah. Pottstown, booming metropolis.
You can get tickets to this booming metropolis. You can get her book. You can get everything Anna Przybylski related at akprzy.com. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And where can people follow you, join your 1.1 million fans?
I'm at akprzy on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Dead Threads.
It's gonna come back.
Eggs roasted.
Oh, but that's it, at akprzy everywhere.
Fantastic.
That's Willie, the other one.
All right, thanks again, Anna.
Thank you so much for sharing your dark comedy with us all.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm starstruck. This is my
support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist-recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, and now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Screen.
And now is the time in our program when we talk about all of those gains across network TV ratings, Instagram, and TikTok for our favorite players. This is...
This Week in...
Gains!
Gary and his senior players dipped a little bit this week in the ratings, shedding about 15% of its numbers from last week, which is par for the course for a Bachelor franchise show. But even with the dip, the Golden Bachelor still crushed the rest of Thursday night of the Thursday night lineup with a 0.5 in the demo and 4.15 million viewers. CBS's Josh Duhamel created Buddy Games, which, by the way, is also based on a scripted movie series that he did, which is, by the way, based on something that him and his real friends do where they go play these weird games against each other on private property.
I had no idea about the Duhamelverse.
Neither did I. He has
it's really one strong theme.
Yes.
Boy friendship.
That is exactly correct. And he's turned it into two scripted movies and now this reality series, which is doing okay.
Good for
even
him.
Though it got beat by The Bachelor, it came in with a 0.3 in the demo and 1.9 million viewers. Followed by Hell's Kitchen on Fox and a rerun of Law & Order SVU on NBC, both pulling in 2.9s in the demo with a 1.9. And sorry, I've messed this up. It's both pulling in 1.9s in the demo.
You're doing great.
Thank you. With 1.9 and 1.7 million raw viewers, respectively. I know I'm just tearing this apart. I'm sorry. I haven't had anything but water in my body for about 3 days. And Son of a Critch on the CW is pulling up the rear with a 0.1 and 300,000 raw viewers.
Put a new detail between each factoid of your illness. Yeah. I look like a bug. You should have a bucket hat on right now. You're going to catch a cold.
I have my gold bucket hat.
Oh, golden bucket hat. I love this one. And in the 9 p.m. time slot, BIP Season 9 maintained third place across all broadcast networks with a 0.3 in the demo and 2.28 million viewers behind Big Brother on CBS with a 0.5 in the demo and 2.58 million viewers and the season premiere of Transplant on NBC, which got a 0.31 in the demo with 2.65 million viewers. BIP did manage to edge out a new episode of Lego Masters on Fox with a 0.2 in the demo, 860K raw viewers, and a rerun of Children Ruin Everything on the CW with a score 0.0 in the demo with 200K raw viewers.
And now let's move on to our Instagram numbers for Love is Blind Season 5, which just had its big reunion show on Sunday. Again, we're going to get to a scream of mine.
I watched it.
I did not yet. But by the time this episode comes out, I might have, and it might be on our Patreon.
I literally caught up on Clue's Corners of Love is Blind all day yesterday, and I finished the finale of Love is Blind. And then I was like, God, when am I getting the reunion? And then I realized it was live last night, so I was able to watch it.
I can't wait to watch it.
But I didn't get your commentary.
I think I'm finally feeling up to maybe being able to do it sometime today.
There's one American flag. I just want to get you through your illness so you have something to look forward to.
Oh, God. I can't wait. Yeah, now I'm like, I'm cured. That's all I needed was that news.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get to now all the Love is Blind Season 5 Instagram followings, starting with our top spot. The person who has the most Instagram followers is Izzy Zapata. He came in with 119K as of the time of this recording, which is astounding to me.
Yeah. Is this the strong victimization edit? What is going on here?
It's got to be, right? Because he narrowly edged out mm-hmm. Stacey Snyder at 111K. Traditionally, in this show and any other reality dating show, it's always the women who have the higher number. Here, we're seeing that kind of get overturned a little bit. Then under them, you have got Taylor Rue at 93.6K, self-elimination midway through the season.
Let's just say she crushed it at the reunion.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'll say that.
I mean, yeah, she did see a big jump there, almost a 40K jump after the reunion. We have under her, Milton Johnson is at 90.6K with about a 50K gain from last week. Then we have Lydia Arlene is at 87.3K with about a 50K gain as well. And then under Lydia, you have Uche, who is at 60.4K. And then you are bringing up the rear with JP, the American Flagsman, at 19.2K.
So what is going on with these numbers? They're so much lower than last year's Love is Blind numbers.
I think it was because you had a season of villains that were not fun villains. All mm-hmm. of these players, pretty much, other than Taylor Rue, I would say, all of them, in one way or another, were conveyed in not great lights. You know, either they were yelling at other players.
Wait, what about Milton?
Even Milton, I think, had some moments when he was talking to Lydia where, and even that relationship, the way it was conveyed was that she was the kind of like,
he's too young to be serious. Yeah,
he's leaving his towels around and she's having to play the mom role to be like, well, what's going on here? It just wasn't, you didn't have the alpha couple.
She's maybe, do we have an answer on how they got into the show?
No. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the reunion.
Okay.
But no, I still don't know how Lydia got in. That was my main question the whole season. Did mm-hmm. she chase Uche in? If so, did she get in of her own accord and not tell the producers she was chasing him? Or did she tell the producers and they put her on the show for that reason? I don't know. It seems very unlikely to me, statistically speaking, that she would be able to just go into the show, that she wouldn't use this as a means by which she came into it.
They do discuss whether they should have kicked them out or not.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I can't wait to watch it. Like I said, hopefully by the time you're listening to this, it will be on our Patreon. If not, it'll be very shortly after. But yeah, it's been an interesting season. And I think the reason for the low numbers also is because you didn't have an alpha couple. Last season, mm-hmm. you had Brett Brown and Tiffany Pennywell, who they were only ever portrayed as 4TRR and never anything bad. They stayed out of the drama of the other couples. And I think because people wanted to see them do well, you had more people tuning into the show, and therefore it kind of gave bigger numbers to all the other players as well. What is it? Rising tide.
Do you know who's still together or not?
From season 5?
Of the couples? Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Okay. I just have a question about why, I mean, we can do it after you watch the finale, but just why they wouldn't have edited one of those couples to be the sweetheart couple. They had enough good footage of both of them.
I don't know. And this, I mean, my opinion on it is there's a little bit of kind of like bachelory producer tier hatred of the players going on.
They're like, oh, they're all fame whores.
Yeah, fuck these people. We're going to make them look bad.
That comes through.
Especially because now they're getting sued. You know, by every season, somebody's dropping a fucking crazy lawsuit on them. So I think it's a little bit of like, we're in control here. Fuck you.
I will say they advertise the finale as like they do a joke. It's a live finale and the guy crosses out live.
Yeah.
It looks immaculate. And I will say it's very well edited. And I famously said, there's no reason for a reunion 2 years later. And I will say I was salivating for the chance of watching the reunion and I loved watching it.
Fuck, I can't wait. I can't wait. Moving on. Now to our Goldens. The Crown gains Gary Turner, gained 5.6K Instagram followers this week for a total of 54.1K.
The top five Golden Bachelor Instagram gains. Number one, poet player Joan Vassos gained 3.4K for a total of 4.7K. Swan song exit bump.
Michelle Young's collab partner Leslie Fima gained 1.2K for a total of 5.2K.
Teresa gained 1.1K for a total of 3.1K in third.
Hair player Edith Aguirre gained 1K for a total of 3.7K.
And hairstylist player Susan Knowles gained 677 for a total of 1.3K.
And the top five Golden Instagram chart is as follows. In first place, you got that night one player, Patty James, still holding the top spot with 7.3K.
Ugh, that's tough to see.
I know.
Second place goes to Leslie Fima. She rose to second place this week with 5.2K.
Joan Vassos is in third with 4.7K.
Faith Martin is in fourth with 4.3K.
And Edith Aguirre is in fifth with 3.7K.
Only two players above 5K.
Yeah, it's rough to see, and I don't know what the reason for this is exactly. It may be because these are baby boomers. And our baby boomers on Instagram, other than my mom, who now runs the official Necessary Conversation podcast Instagram account, just FYI.
Those Instagram reels promoting the podcast, just clips of you and your family talking and like various creature play, are so funny. I laugh every time the like sound at the end comes on.
They're very well done. It's very interesting to see what my mom is doing with that Instagram account. Feel free to go check it out. I wish I could tell you what the name of it was, but she changes it. And it used to be the Colchin family. Now maybe it's Necessary Conversation. I don't really know.
You'll see it though. It's really, it comes up. Yeah. It's always first on my feed when I open my phone. So it's got that.
Oh, nice.
It's in the algo.
Fantastic.
Top five BIP Instagram gains. Kylie Russell is in first place. She gained 4.7K for a total of 40K.
Jessica Girard gained 4.6K for a total of 99.6K.
Dangle Nation leader Braden Bowers gained 3.9K for a total of 30.6K.
And hottest man on the beach, Tyler Norris, gained 3.K for a total of 115K.
I love 3.K.
Sorry.
Mercedes Northup gained 2.8K, rounding out the top five for a total of 24.1K.
I'm trying to hold, I'm literally like hallucinating and shit as I'm doing.
I know. You literally are like bobbing around. You look like a buoy in the ocean draped in like monk's clothes.
That's how it has to go sometimes. Let's move on. Let's move on to that top five BIP Instagram chart. Rachel Recchi is in the top spot with 546K.
Blake Moynes, second place, 428K.
Tyler Norris, third place, 115K.
Avon Jones, fourth place, 102K.
And Jessica Girard is in that fifth place spot with 99.6K.
Hey, at least we'll have five players in the 100K club soon. Top five VIP TikTok, Rachel Recchia is in that top spot with 137.3K.
Jessica Girard in second place, 91.7K.
P. Third place, 32.7K. That's how it's written.
Yeah, you did a good job. Tyler Norris is in fourth place with 21.5K.
Good job, pace case. Kat Izzo, fifth place, 14.9K.
Yeah, some very low numbers here for BIP. You've got the top players are basically just the top players from other seasons riding on the success of those seasons. But who knows? As the season shakes out, the numbers do tend to go up toward finales, so we'll see what happens. But now let's move on to all those luscious tids fit for printing.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News, some Love is Blind news. Love is Blind continues to prove that its players will not hesitate to contradict edits and attempts to set the record straight. On Sunday, in conjunction with the Love is Blind Season 5 reunion on Netflix, Stacey Snyder took to Instagram to issue a lengthy four-slide all-text post attempting to explain why she was so hostile toward fellow player Johnny Marest. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. My apologies. I'm going to read this post in its entirety because it is incredibly important in the history of the development of this franchise, at least in my opinion. Let me find this post real quick. Again, this is a four-slide post. All of it is text, each one of these things. And it's a little lengthy. Bear with me, but it must be read. I've anxiously been waiting in silence to address the context of where my frustration and anger comes from regarding Johnny. During and outside of filming, she bashed me as a person as well as my physical appearance. While in the pods, she told my fellow castmates, Izzy would never be happy with her. If that's what he wants, he's going to have bigger problems outside of here. Stacy is the safe choice. If Izzy chooses Stacy, he's going to be disappointed at reveal because she is not hot. Some of these things were said while I was in the room, and some were said to my friends behind my back, who in turn told me. I never once called her out or attacked her for doing these things because I was focused on my relationship and engagement with Izzy. At the barbecue, Milton, Johnny, and I were sitting together, and Milton said, "Man, Johnny, I don't remember Stacy from the pods, but we met in Mexico and she's super cool." Johnny scoffed and replied, "Not memorable, shocking," with a sarcastic tone, making me feel like I shouldn't be a memorable person. I had yet to reply to her in any negative manner, but she crossed my boundaries with that final remark, which is why you see me respond the way I do after she approached me with the deceitful comment. The comment I made about Johnny's face was because...
You're doing the Lord, Dark Lord Lachey's good work right now, Clues.
The comment I made about Johnny's face was because I was shocked that someone who was supposedly Lydia's closest friend was acting like she believed Uche's awful accusations about her and finding humor in it. It felt like a betrayal of the friendships I knew were built on the pods, and while my reaction may have been inappropriate, I know I owe it to explain why I felt disturbed by that. It feels very ironic that I am being portrayed as a bully when in fact the actions of Johnny very much come across to me as antagonizing, for which I stood up for myself and others against. Some of the wording of these sentences are a little confusing. My apologies. I strongly encourage anyone feeling attacked or belittled to stand up for themselves. Many of my fellow castmates witnessed all of which I am stating and have encouraged me to speak up. These cast members are, and then she lists several Instagram handles here, but does not tag any of them. Izzy Zapata, James Milton, LAVG, Taylor Rue, and then some of these other ones I think are forgottens. But this has 19,000 likes, 46 comments, and it is just a bold contradiction of the edit. We've never seen anything like this from a player in Bachelor franchise, which has been notorious for silencing players. This post from Snyder could mark the beginning of a new era for Love is Blind, in which players post lengthy explanations in an attempt to clear up things that were not present in the edit. If that's the case, will Love is Blind embrace parasocial plays like this or try to stop them from happening altogether and take a turn toward a more Bachelor-esque approach?
That episode was absolutely bananas. I couldn't believe what we were watching and how many arguments were caused by that one event. I mean, that was good job getting them to all fight.
Yeah, I agree. But it does bring up the question, you know, what are they doing in this edit? Like you're saying earlier, why are they editing these people to be assholes?
That's what I don't get, though. I'm like, you need to protect one pair. And I honestly think they'll have learned that from this season, just like they learned to not do a live reunion.
Right.
I am astounded that this beef is continuing 2 years down the line. Like, you would think they would bury the hatchet at this point.
I agree.
I think it would behoove both of them to parasocially make some sort of coming together.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, you also have to keep in mind that, like, they shoot this thing 2 years ago and they feel however they feel in the moment and they are saying what they're saying in the moment. Mm-hmm. The years pass. Now the reunion's coming up at the tail end of the season airing. I guarantee you, yeah, Stacey Snyder is just getting DM after DM from people being like, "Fuck you, you're an asshole."
Yeah.
And so it makes all the wounds fresh again, you know?
That's true. You're seeing the audience reaction and you're seeing the stuff. You're seeing the actual document that you might not have seen. Yeah, very interesting season. I really think they need to just like pick one couple and protect them, though. It doesn't matter if it's like dramatic whether or not they'll get together in the end.
Yeah. And it's okay to do ringers. I this is not confirmed, but Brett Brown and Tiffany Pennywell, there are many rumors out there that say they were ringers, that they knew each other before this and kind of like the fix was in. And it fucking worked. Like, it's okay.
There's rumors about that about Trista and Ryan.
I
heard that.
Exactly.
I don't care. I'm like, present it as two people who don't know, who are pretending to get to know each other too. That's fascinating to me. Like,
I agree. 100% agree.
What, all the friends have to then pretend to, as Uche said during that, oh my God, that convo. How could we have been faking this to get on the show together? Then we'd have to have all our friends in on it. And then we'd have to have gotten our family in on it. He's like texting his parents under the table.
Exactly.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, the lovable dingbat Gabby Windy has upped her SponCon game with a brand new partnership with global fashion e-tailer Kupsh.
I think it's Kupshi.
Kupshi. As the brand's newest ambassador, Windy has collaborated with Kupshi for an exclusive holiday collection. The 47-piece Take on the Starlit Night collection is described as a celebration of confidence that includes dresses, blouses, skirts, and more, with dramatic and glamorous details such as sequins, faux fur, asymmetrical silhouettes, and plunging necklines.
In promotion of her new line, Windy said, "I love the holidays and I love clothes. We need something to look forward to with the seasons changing and days getting shorter. This collection gives you an excuse to indulge and find something decadent to wear. And I think that's what the holidays are all about. The sparkles, velvet, and faux fur bring us a sense of excitement and something to look forward to during the months we need it most." Windy is not the first Bachelor player to partner with Kupshi. Earlier this year, Madison Pruitt released a wedding line with the brand.
They're going in two different directions there. Like, we need this market and we need this one.
Yeah, Madison Pruitt's been doing some crazy... If you guys have not been watching Madison Pruitt's social media at this point, you're missing out. You should be watching it. I repost some of her stuff every once in a while. It's getting intense. Let me just say that.
I did see a video that reminded me of that one video we never could find of her. And she's going back to her roots, you know?
Yeah.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, Brooklyn Willie had a big announcement after her early departure from Paradise. Willie took to Instagram to caption a carousel of images of her and her new boyfriend, Wilson Nugent, who knew I'd never have to leave Gilmer, Texas to be in Paradise, referring to her Texas hometown. What's Gilmer?
Gilmer, Texas? I'm not sure where it is, but it sounds small to me. The post got some big replies from fellow players, including season 20 Bachelorette Charity Lawson, who issued her parasocial glow, saying, "My Brooklyn, you are glowing. Repeat, you are glowing. And I'm so happy that you're happy." Crying, happy face emoji. Congrats to Willie and Nugent and everyone back in Gilmer, Texas on this huge announcement.
I can't believe you don't know where every city in Texas is.
Sorry.
Are you a source boy or not?
I know where Dallas is. I know where all those suburbs are. I know where Houston is. I know where Austin is. And I know where Amarillo is because I spent some time in Amarillo.
I didn't even know where Sacramento was. I made a big mistake because that's where I got Luca from. But I thought it was in between LA and San Francisco.
Oh, shit. And you're like, just be a couple hour drive.
Sacramento is north of San Francisco, it turns out.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost another country.
Our state's capital. Yeah. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, Taylor Swift's connection to our beloved game has been revealed. During a recent interview with Us Weekly, Jo Fletcher revealed that her ring winner, A. Robro, is not only a big Swiftie. In her early career, he was trying to be her Travis Kelce.
A. Robro said, quote, "I was going to her concerts when she was playing in front of 200 people in the middle of nowhere, Northern California, when I was in high school. I have the picture to prove it. I met her afterwards. She had her crimped hair, first album. That's me. I'm a Swiftie."
Strong, strong play. A-Ro Bro went on to admit that he used to leave tickets to home games at the box office for Swift when he was the quarterback at Vanderbilt. But it turns out Swift was a no-show for A-Ro Bro.
He didn't have the juice.
Wowie.
I know. It's pretty interesting that...
Small world.
We've long talked about the integration of the NFL or football generally, college football in this case, with our beloved game. And now you see it's coming full circle. It's A-Ro Bro leaving tickets for Taylor Swift, who's now dating an NFL guy.
Who's now a billionaire, right?
Travis Kelce is a billionaire now?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor Swift is, yeah. She's a genius.
Oh, the Travis Kelce thing, by the way, do we want to talk about that? How many Instagram followers he got?
What's he at now? I haven't looked at it recently, but sure.
Clues and I were discussing this in our podcast before the podcast, but while it seems like gains in our beloved game are dead, there are gains to be had.
Absolutely.
Taylor Swift is the only one who can give them out now.
He's at 4.2 million right now, and he got 1 million Instagram followers like the day that she showed up to his first game. So it's not that people aren't, you know, like Pazegas was saying, we discussed, like, is it just a general lack of interest in social media across the board? Is that what's affecting our beloved game here? But I don't think that's the case when you see shit like this. And granted, Taylor Swift is the most famous person on the planet, but still, she's able to grant this man a huge parasocial following.
Granted, she's a once-in-a-generation talent, bigger than Michael Jackson, some might say.
Some might say. At any rate, that's all the news that we got this week. Now it's time to move on to all those plays that our favorite players are making off the field and on their telephones. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
A lot of strong plays this week. Under the Chiron, when somebody tells you to go to hell, but I'm already going through it in paradise, Will Urena lip-synced I'm Already There with the caption, can't catch a break. Sad downtrodden emoji, sad open eye emoji, hashtag Bachelation, hashtag Bachelor in Paradise, hashtag Reality TV, hashtag Bachelor, 149.2K views and 7.6K likes.
Sparkle player Jess Gerard made a TikTok about her bloated swimsuit line in which she lip syncs to the sound, I would rather eat a 5'7" rug than talk to a boy sober on reality TV. She then cuts to the line from BIP, I was bloated today, so I put a one piece on. In the comments, she then drops subtle tea, insinuating that the producers did her dirty by making it look like she said this line in both one-on-one conversations.
I have been wondering about this. It may be minutiae, but I saw basically someone was like, I was wondering if this was, if you actually said it twice or the producer did you dirty. And then her reply was the second part.
Yes, exactly. Because the second time you see it, it's played off face.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yep.
Interesting. That's to give her a full edit, even though, why are we doing, I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
Golden hour. We got a golden swan song play from parasocial juggernaut Joan Vassos. She made an Instagram post, a still image of her and Gary with the caption, my journey to find love took a detour this week as I traded the mansion for motherhood and headed home to be with my family. Family comes first, period. Once a mother, always a mother. I always choose my kids first. Thank you for all your outpouring of love and support. Not only for me, but also my daughter. Everyone is now healthy and happy. As for me and my journey to love, guess we'll have to see where it takes me next. Until then, stay golden. Sparkle emoji, heart emoji, hashtag the Golden Bachelor, hashtag Team Joan, 2.2K likes.
Do you think this puts her in contention for Golden Bachelorette?
Yes.
I do too. We'll have to see how it plays out, but
you know who I think of when I think of this? I mean, she didn't get as far, but Ali Fedotowsky.
Yep.
Sabbaticaled out of the program. She got Golden Bachelorette. I'm just saying she's still in contention.
I think so too. I think she's in the conversation. Teresa thanked Askin player Susan for doing her hair in a glorious Instagram post. Under a still image of her windblown car in the convertible, she writes, thank you, Susan, for doing my hair.
Windblown hair. Whoops.
What?
Some of these things Clues is mistaking and some of them I am miswriting. So that's getting
yeah, hopefully people can still understand.
Under a still image of her windblown hair in the convertible.
Hair in the convertible. Sorry. She writes, thank you, Susan, for doing my hair. It looks so beautiful until that car ride at Golden Bachelor ABC, at Bachelor ABC, hashtag Golden Bachelor.
Love is blind, but how blind? Love is Blind royalty, Lauren Speed, 2.5 million followers, made a reel under the Chiron POV, you already anticipate Love is Blind to be on some bullshit, in which she lip syncs to the audio, fuck it, let's go. Her caption reads, listen, the season has me lost for words right now, but the show must go on, child. Eye emoji to the side, TV emoji, girl on a computer emoji, hoodie at Afro Unicorn underscore official, hashtag Lauren Speed Hamilton, hashtag Netflix, hashtag LIB, hashtag Love is Blind, hashtag We Have the Receipts, hashtag podcast, 149K likes. 2.4 million views.
Man, just proving that she is still the most dominant player from Love is Blind in history. Moving on. F, yes, F girl, former Bachelorette Crown and current F boy Crown, Katie Thurston made a strong golden play under the chyron when your job is dating on reality TV. Katie Thurston, in an old person face filter, says, "My name is KT. I'd like to be on the next season of Golden Bachelor." 144K views on Instagram, 22.1K on TikTok.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All of these were strong plays. However, there can be only one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to Kat Izzo. She posted a tweet and then shared it to her Instagram story. She then quickly deleted the tweet and repost. But it read, hashtag Bachelor in Paradise. Did I check in with him prior to the date? Yes. Did he tell me he was fine with the situation and then say other things to others? Yes. Did I validate his feelings? Yes. Did he gaslight me for validating his feelings? Yes. Did he have toxic responses when I tried to explain my feelings? Yes. Was that very triggering for me? Yes. Did they only show the part where I finally got frustrated as if it was the whole conversation? All caps, yes, period.
Wowie.
Wowie.
This is what we're talking about. These edit contradictions. Now, she took this down. I don't know if that was by her own free will or if that was the producers saying, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Take this down.
Or Lori K. Whoever.
Yeah, or Lori K. coming in. Somebody might have forced her hand here, but clearly she felt strongly enough about it to post this in the first place. Mm-hmm. And again, we're entering this new era. You just wouldn't have seen something like this even a couple of years ago, I feel like. And I think because of the Love is Blind influence on kind of reality TV dating generally, reality dating TV generally, I think you're seeing more players in Bachelor Nation do things like this too. Certainly not to the degree that Stacey Snyder did it, because her post is still up and you know that shit ain't coming down ever.
And it's 4 slides. This is an ephemeral Instagram story. Exactly. It is, it's wild to see posts like this though. And it is a good reminder for all of us all the time, because the producing can affect your opinions of stuff. Like, she's getting such a bad villain edit. It's like, oh yeah, no, they have an agenda for who they want to look good in that conversation.
Absolutely. These were great plays. We also have another play to talk about made by a non-human. This week, the mother of the BIP poop baby, Samantha Jeffries, posted a carousel of pictures of another baby, her pup, Millie, with the caption, pick your favorite Millie mood, heart emoji, PS, swipe to the end. These are incredible pictures. I highly encourage everyone to go look at them. And big congrats go out to Samantha Jeffries and her pup, Millie, on what is by far the best creature post of the week.
In the second post, the creature has a towel on its head, just like Euclid.
That's right. Maybe the creature also ate at Gratitude Cafe, Cafe Gratitude in Larchmont, do you think?
Oh, he's a golden retriever. She's a sweet, perfect baby. Oh, yes.
All right. that wraps up all of our parasocial plays. Now let's pace case. You and I dive deep into the bottom of the pit and issue forth our screams. This is
Screams from the pit.
Clues. Yeah. I have two screams.
Okay.
One of them is I went to a golden birthday party on Saturday, which was themed dress as your golden yourself in wigs and stuff for my friend's 30th birthday.
Did this have to do with Golden Bachelor?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Interesting.
They both watched Golden last week, both episodes.
Got it.
And so I put on like full, face aging face paint as well.
Yeah.
Wore a silver wig, and I was talking with one of my friends, and he was like very drunk, and I was like, "Well, do you know?" He was like, "Something about the merch. I don't know." He's like, "I always meant to get your merch," and I was like, "Well, we're selling bucket hats right now," and I made him buy a bucket. At the golden birthday party. This is my mini scream.
That's fantastic.
Yep, we got a sale. Thank you, Pettibone. I hope you wear that hat every day.
Yeah, me too. Wow. That's a nice scream.
But the main one is I'm going to an event tonight, which unfortunately you're not going to be joining me.
God, I know.
With because of goddamn Rainforest Cafe or whatever.
No. Cafe Gratitude. You know this place in Larchmont?
Yeah.
All the shit on the menu is like, all the item listings are like, I am glowing. I am magical. I am powerful. That's the names of their...
I am poisoned.
Shit, yeah. I am puking. Should have been one.
Get them.
Thank you.
This event. Got the confirmation email. We're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow for the F-Boy Island Season 3 premiere party.
I'm so fucking jealous. I want to go to this so bad.
I am going to be wearing my festive cocktail attire. I am going to be reporting live on the ground as we see former Bachelorette crown Katie Thurston and current F-Boy Island crown Katie Thurston.
God, I can't wait to hear all about it.
Ruling the roost.
And I wish I could come with you, Pace Case, but I simply... at this point, probably can't even walk 10 steps, let alone be away from a bathroom for more than about 5 minutes.
We just hear your audio. The rest of it is just like,
Yeah, basically. Well, Pace Case, I hope you have a good time.
I wish you were coming. Obviously, my dynamic duo partner, I would have loved to see what you were going to wear, which bucket hat you were going to wear.
My golden one. My screen this week is... as you may have guessed, about being food poisoned. Last night, I was hunkered over my toilet, puking into that toilet multiple times.
Ew. Was this a BIP plot?
No, it's not. It's my real life. And as I was doing this dirty, dark work, all I could think was, fuck, I'm not going to be able to watch the Love is Blind reunion. And at one point... I even went, no, into the toilet. It was echoing back into my face as I was screaming. No, because I thought, you know what? Maybe I can power through. Maybe I can do this. But there simply was no way. I'm feeling a little bit better today. Definitely not 100%. But I think at least hopefully at the end of the day, I might be able to power through it and get it done.
Record it from your bed.
Yeah. But that was, I was experiencing like intense, stomach pains. Obviously, for anybody who's ever been food poisoned, you know how bad this shit is. But my primary thought was, I'm gonna miss the Love is Blind reunion in any kind of a timely fashion. And it was like, that was the worst part of this to me.
That's better than like, oh, I'm gonna... That's great.
Okay. Well, those are our screams. Let's move on now. We have...
I love when you say that.
We have one more scream to get to from... somebody in the pit.
Oh, Pace Case. Chad.
If anybody out there would like to submit their screams to us to be listened to here, you just go to patreon.com/gameroses and you join us in the bottom of the pit, you get access to our Discord where you can send us a 1 minute or under audio clip of your scream. Dark Seeker listens to them all, stores them all in her mind, and delivers us the best one.
Yeah, the clips you're listening to are actually her saying them with just a really good impression.
It's an AI voice generator. This one's coming to us from Claire Aubert 123. Let's take a listen.
Bachelor Clues and Pace Case. I am reporting live from the streets of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, with a numb face, barely able to speak, but the pit provides. I step off my train stop in Williamsburg, right in front of me, glowing, a grocery store Joe and Serena. He's taller in person. He's hotter in person. She's teeny. She's beautiful. A girl stopped them and was talking to them. And I, under my breath, walked by and said, grocery and Serena, and kept walking. I can barely talk. My face is numb from a dental procedure. But I think the pit provides, because as I was walking by, I was listening to This Week in Bachelor Nation. Praise be, Dork Lark Palmer. See? I can't speak.
This is a beautiful scream.
I love a scream that seems like it's under duress.
Yeah. And that one definitely did. At this point, can completely understand and empathize with not being able to speak correctly, because I feel like that's what I've done this entire fucking episode. But this is a beautiful scream.
That's how I feel. I podcast all the time.
Oh, that's nice.
Please feel free to listen on a faster speed.
I absolutely love any scream like this where you're running into players out in the wild, especially players of this status. Absolutely fantastic. And I love the part where Claire Aubert 123 says under her breath as walking by them, grocery and Serena. I wish I would have been there to see this.
I feel like if I got off the subway and I saw these two figures, I would think that I had died, especially if they're hotter too in person. I mean, they already seem hot, but I also love the idea that maybe they just like think there's ghosts saying like grocery and Serena all the time. Like people just whisper that as they hustle by.
Or it's like in their heads, they're like, Jesus Christ, we've had these identities given to us by the show, by the podcast that we now do, by Maybelline. Is it just getting in my head now? Am I just hearing this weird echo?
Is he just like every day, like, I don't even have a grocery store anymore. Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
Exactly. I should be Sauce Joe now. What's going on? I know that I came into the game.
Call me Happy Hour.
Call me Happy Hour. That's what they're just collectively known as a couple now. Happy Hour. Look, it's Happy Hour.
I'm a Dork Lord now. I love Dork Lord too. That's so funny.
That is pretty good. Thank you so much, Claire, for this scream. Thank you, Dark Seeker, for putting this scream together. Again, if anybody out there wants to send in their own scream, you just join us on the bottom of the pit at patreon.com/gamerroses. Fire off that scream and we'll play him here. But that wraps up This Week in Bachelor Nation. I can't believe I made it through, and yet I kind of can.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clues, for joining us. Thank you, Anna. We will be back on Thursday with our live show and our next Gary Dice episode Friday.
Indeed. Until then, as always, before we go, what is that dwab at?
It's been 7,875 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dork Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then